What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Halfway to Christmas Leon episode of the Roast Such a Platter podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with me. He is one of the heavy hitters from the Christmas Podcast Network. He is one of the co-hosts of Tis the Podcast. He is the Italian Stallion, now living in Florida. Anthony Caruso, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. Always glad to be here, CJ.
Can you believe we're almost halfway to Christmas?
I cannot. That is insane. And I will have met our good friend Jerry D in person by the time this episode drops.
Are you serious?
He's going to be at Disney next week with his family. So I'm going to go up one day and meet them for dinner.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I want to meet Jerry. I'm jealous now. I'm going to tell him to come to Niagara Falls or something. Because I just don't know when I'm going to get out to Texas. One day I'll just drive there. I always joke around. I always say I'm going to show up at your work and I'm going to ask you if you have like dildo shaped icicles for trees or something. But yeah,
one day we all need to chip in and rent the Christmas Story house or the Home Alone house or something.
I'm telling you, I've been trying to do that, but I don't know how many people would be involved. But honestly, if we went in the summer, I think it's about 500 to 600 US. Even if we got like 3 to 4 people, that's really not a big deal, and that'd be fun, and we can do like a whole episode from there.
I'll maybe, and of course, we'd have to watch the Christmas Story there too,
and the Christmas Story 2, or what was it called, the new one,
A Christmas Story,
another Christmas Story Christmas. There we go. Yeah, we could watch that too. But yeah, anyways, today, what we wanted to do, or what I wanted to do for a special little Halfway to Christmas, is Anthony and I are obviously a big fans of cinema, big fans of movies. We are, I feel like, sometimes the only people that go to movies anymore constantly. We are going to count down our top 10 favorite Christmas movies, specials included. So I got Anthony to compile a list. I compiled mine. We're also going to have a couple, you know, of shout outs to ones that didn't make the list, honorable mentions. Did you have trouble making this list? I kind of did, but I kind of just went with my heavy hitters and stuck with them.
I did have trouble, and then I made a rule for myself. I'm only picking movies. I have no specials on this.
Oh, geez, me.
I couldn't compare something like Rudolph or the Peanuts to something like A Christmas Story. So I just
stuck with I kind of did that. Like Santa Claus is Coming to Town as well. Didn't make my list, but it's one of my favorites. You know what I mean? So I kind of had, I wanted to almost keep the specials off, but I didn't. I included them. So,
So that's my disclaimer. Like, just because I have no specials on here, doesn't mean I don't love them.
You chicken shit. But anyway, yeah. So let's kind of get into it. You start with your number 10 and then I'll go with mine. Let's start it off. Our 10th favorite Christmas movie ever.
My 10th favorite Christmas movie, taking me by surprise after some thought, is Krampus.
Oh, wow.
Now, this film, a lot of people just assume, oh, it's a horror Christmas movie like Gremlins. But no, it has a lot of heart to it. It is so whimsical. It's so festive and warm feeling in terms of setting and what it looks like. And it's your typical Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life type witch gone wrong. And I love this one.
I honestly think it's a really underrated movie. I love it. A lot of people that you even talked to that have watched it and said it's actually pretty good, because I didn't expect anything from it. And then I watched it. I'm like, you know what? This isn't bad. Did I put it in my canon? No, but I've watched it a couple times. It's pretty good. It's
that
pretty good.
That one is honestly one of my proudest things I've ever done on Tis the Podcast, because most people who have watched it, like you said, say, wow, that was way different than I thought it would be.
And no, definitely. My number 10 is a bit different. I chose a special. Do you care to pick what number 10 was, or like guess?
Rudolph?
No, it was Frosty the Snowman. That's my number 10. Okay. There's just something about it. I always say this on my podcast. It used to feel like an event when you had to watch it on TV. Now streaming's available. I also own the physical copies on Blu-ray. There was just something when I was a kid when Frosty would come on. It felt so special. It felt like an event. Mm-hmm. I'd get my popcorn or my hot chocolate and I'd sit in front of the TV, because it was like you had to be there, right? It was like a concert. If you don't go and you don't show up, you weren't going to see it. So
you got to wait a whole year. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for real.
I
And that's pretty much what Frosty was for me. And I loved it so much. I still watch it, and it's only 25 minutes. You don't have to sit there for 2 hours. You know what I mean?
do appreciate that ABC or CBS still air it like once a year. I don't have cable though. Like I just all streaming, so I don't never catch it on TV, but all the specials like Frosty and Santa Claus and Rudolph and everything, I try to watch on YouTube with their original commercials from the 90s just because
Yeah.
I miss the all the holiday commercials in between.
Those are fun.
Yep.
But if you watch on YouTube and stuff like that, sometimes they have the old commercials on them, on the old recordings, if you watch like old stuff, so you can
Oh,
kind of like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I try to do, even though I own it in
yeah, no.
streaming.
What is number nine?
Number nine, again, a newer film and the only version of A Christmas Carol to make my top 10, and that is Spirited with
Oh,
Will
wow.
Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds.
Holy crap.
The reason I like this one is because there are like 150 adaptations of Christmas Carol out there.
Yeah.
Even Disney and Muppets, they still do a straight up adaptation where it's about Scrooge and his night and everything like that. They're pretty faithful adaptations. I like that this one was from the ghost's point of view, set in
Yeah.
modern day. I thought it was clever, and there are some bangers in there. That Good Afternoon song is a catchy earworm, so.
No, 100%. I really enjoyed that. I've only ever watched it one time though. But I really thought it was well done. It was something new, it was something fresh. That came out what, 3 years ago? 2023? Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it. You know what? Okay, have you become less of a Ryan Reynolds fan after all this stuff that's happened with his wife and Baldoni or whatever his name is?
I became less of a Ryan Reynolds fan the moment he was cast as Deadpool.
Whoa, wait a second. He's Canadian and Deadpool is Canadian. I thought it was perfect casting. What the hell's wrong with
It
that?
is perfect casting, but it's too much Ryan Reynolds. I mean, but I feel the same way about Deadpool. Deadpool is too much for me. The breaking fourth wall shit.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's a different podcast for a different day. My number nine is A Christmas Carol, funny enough, but it is the Jim Carrey version on Disney. I love it. Some people really hate it. They don't like it. That's fine. I really loved the Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. That is my number nine. I probably watch it, honestly, 5 to 6 times throughout the year. There are some darker parts, but part of A Christmas Carol is a dark. So I don't know if many kids really watch any version of the Christmas Carol other than, I'm losing it here. The Disney, whatever they are, the Disney Muppets Christmas Carol, or they also have the version with Donald Duck or whatever, right? Don't they? Or whatever the hell is
Scrooge
Scrooge
McDuck.
McDuck or whatever.
That was
Yeah.
Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, so kids will watch that, but like this version is not really for kids. It kind of can be, but there are some scary parts, but I really liked it.
I love that one. And Jim Carrey is when I picture Scrooge in my head, it's Jim Carrey's Scrooge. And I would go so far as to say there is the score for that film, maybe one of the best Christmas scores of all time. Like
I
I would
think,
listen to
yeah, I think
at
it
work
is.
when I need to pick me up.
Yeah, we've discussed this before too. The music on it is fantastic. The beginning, like even the visuals, I was lucky enough to see it in 3D in the theaters, and it was really good with the music and floating over the buildings and such. It was freaking fantastic. I still love it, and I hear everybody always say, "Oh, I don't like it." I'm like, screw you, I don't care.
And you know I'm not a fan of Polar Express, same director, same type of animation, but this one did it for me.
Yeah. I can't believe you don't like Polar Express, but it's all good. I'm not gonna hate on you for it. Let's get to number eight for you. What is your number eight?
Number eight is a remake. And the superior version of the film, in my opinion, and that's 1994's Miracle on 34th Street, starring
Oh
Richard
man,
Attenborough.
there we go.
This movie is just magical. This felt like Christmas growing up to me. We had it on
Yeah.
VHS, and this is, I mean, New York in the 90s. This is the New York I remember as a kid. And one of the best Christmas scenes of all time is in this movie, and this is when he talks to the little girl in sign language on his
Yes,
lap.
that was fantastic. Did you so the VHS version did you have? Did you have the cardboard box version or the clunky plastic version?
This one,
remember?
it was cardboard box version.
Oh, boo, boo, boo. I got this movie, I think, for my 10th birthday, because I think it came out in 94.
It
And
did.
I
It
think,
came out a week after the Santa Claus.
yeah, so in 95 for Chris, for my birthday, because my birthday is in late December, I got this movie, and it was the clunky plastic version, which was really freaking cool. But it's such a good movie. You're right. It's such a good movie.
It's
It's
such a good
Christmas.
movie, and the ending makes more sense to me than the original. Like the whole
Yeah.
God we trust. Well, if we don't believe in God, but the US government puts their faith in him, then we could put our faith in Santa. I always thought that was a
Exactly. It's perfect.
cooler ending.
When was the original made? Was it 47?
I think so.
You gonna double check?
I'm gonna double check. Miracle on 34th Street. Yep, 1947.
Yeah. Okay. So I do agree with you that the 94 version is superior, and I think it's by a margin. But don't get me wrong. Every Christmas, usually a couple days before Christmas, I will watch the 47 version just because it's obviously a simpler time. I always loved the way people talked in the 40s, and it was very much still like almost like, oh, here, you see, like the 20s. How are you? What are you doing? Like, you know what I'm talking about? I
Oh, I
loved it, man.
do.
Yeah, so your favorite scene is the one where he does sign language. Do you ever feel like the mom in that was like just so mean to Mr. Bedford sometimes? Like
Of
the way when
course.
he proposed and she's just like, what would ever possibly give you the idea? It's just like you could have said no, but it was like a Mortal Kombat finisher, just like get over here, just ripped his heart out.
Finish him.
Yeah, finish him, flawless victory.
I
But
do.
yeah.
I always forget her name, but I like she was in everything in the 90s, and
Oh, I loved her. I had
I
such a
love
huge
that
crush on her.
actress,
Yeah.
Elizabeth Perkins.
Yes.
But she was Wilma Flintstone, and I love that movie. And
Yeah.
that she was on that show Weeds on Showtime a few years later, which I was.
Yeah. And Mara Wilson, she's doing the I guess the Comic-Con rounds now, the expos and things like that. And obviously from Matilda fame and other things, but she'll always be.
This is Doubtfire.
Oh, that's true too. I forgot about her in that. God, what I miss Robin Williams. Anyway, it's a great pick. My number eight could have been higher, but I'm going with Christmas Vacation. I kind of regret its positioning, but you'll kind of see as we get into other things, I kind of had to have it there. But Christmas Vacation is a cult classic. Clark Griswold was hilarious. Whether or not you like the Chevy Chase actor or not, because apparently he's a big piece of trash. But he did a really good job in this. It feels like Christmas. And do you know I didn't start watching this movie until about 10 years ago?
I'm
I
with
had
you.
watched it one time. And then finally, I was like, you know what? Let's give this a real go. And yeah, we scores. Thank God. Sorry, I'm watching the Habs game as we're doing this, and it's tied 2-2. I lost my train of thought.
You didn't start watching it until 10 years ago.
Yeah, until like 10 years ago. And I have physical copies of things, and then I buy things because I have like YouTube Premium. And sometimes if there's a sale, I'll buy the movie on digital just to have it. I know it streams other places, but I don't know. You can just cast your TV now. It's simple. And I probably, if I'm having a shit night or a shit day, I put on that movie in the beginning, Carol, just because you can't download that song anywhere. You can
Which
only
is
get.
still insane to me because that song is
Yes.
great.
Yes. And as soon as it starts, I can feel my nervous system already relaxing. And I'll watch it or I'll just listen to it because it just provides me so much peace, man. I love the film. It should be higher, but you'll see as I get into my other ones, like, it's tough sledding from here. What is your number seven?
Number seven is the only sequel I have on my list. And that is Home Alone 2, Lost in New
Wow, that's
York.
low.
Now, a
That's
lot
low.
of people will say this is about the same quality as the first one, or might even surpass the first one. I disagree. This lacks the magic of the first one, in my opinion. That said, it is still a wonderful film. But Sticky Bandits are just not as good as the Wet Bandits in my mind, and nor is 90s New York setting where New York was way more dirty and dangerous than it is nowadays.
That's what gave it so much appeal, man. I'm one that personally believes two is better than one. But I'm not gonna argue, both are fantastic. Obviously, you can't go wrong with the original, but
It is fantastic. And Tim Curry is great. The Pigeon Lady is great, even though I hated that her story had no resolution. Like, I wish Mr. Duncan gave her a job or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of never figure out what happens to her. I love that actress. I can't think of her name. She's also in one of my other favorite movies of all time, A Time to Kill.
We had a listener write in years ago that they lived next door to her in Ireland or England or wherever.
Oh, really? That's really cool. Did you believe them, or you think they're a liar?
No, I believed them. They were sounded so
Yeah.
genuine. Like
I'll
they
go to
live.
my. Sorry, I was gonna say I'm gonna go to my number seven because you've already mentioned it, but I went with the superior 1994 version of A Miracle on 34th Street as well.
Nice. Nice.
We touched on it. It's just a it's a comforting film. It feels very Christmassy. The whole, I think they really took the 47 version to another level. A lot of people will want to stab you for saying that, but I thought the casting was perfect. I just think it's a really cute movie. I love the ending. I love Attenborough as, you know, Santa. He's my favorite Santa. Him and Tim, I guess. But I don't know. It's just
I
I
just
when
wish he had a better beard.
yeah, I wish it was a bit longer, but honestly, it gave him like a authentic look. You could tell that was the real deal, Holyfield. You know what I mean? But he's probably one of my he is my favorite Santa. Him and Tim are like tied for one. But don't mind me if you can hear my bulldog snorting behind me. What are you doing, baby? I know you're tired and fat. It's just fantastic. I can't say enough good things about it. But yeah, we've already kind of discussed it, so we'll move on. What is your number six?
So this is where things get interesting for me because this, while the movies in my top six probably won't be a surprise to anyone who listens to me on the shows, the order has definitely changed a lot over the
Okay.
years. And I will just add a disclaimer for number six. Again, I did not pick any Christmas TV specials. If I did, the TV special would have come higher than this film. But number six is the live action How the Grinch Stole Christmas. There are a lot of haters of this film, and I will never understand within the Christmas community, and I'll never understand it. I think it
Me
is
neither. I don't
magical
get
and
it.
whimsical. I think Jim Carrey gave honestly an Oscar-worthy performance.
Yeah.
Taylor Momsen, is that her name? Was great as Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah.
And talk about a great animal performer in Max. This movie has everything, including a wonderful score as well.
Yes.
And I there are always rumors that are going to like I saw a lot of influencers, but like connected to magazines and stuff on Twitter the other day saying there are rumblings in Hollywood that they want to do a sequel to this. And I was like, how do you do a sequel? But they want to do another live action Grinch, either a sequel or a remake. And I'm just like, leave it alone. This one's great.
I think you should leave it alone too, but I think, oh my God, it's a 3-on-1. Sorry, I'm watching hockey as I do this. I do think that a big problem with Jim Carrey, he didn't like getting dressed up in the suit because obviously he probably felt suffocating. But we're in a time now where you can do a lot of this stuff, like makeup and outfits, and it be very light and not constrictive.
And then
So
enhance
like
it
you're
with CGI a little bit.
Yeah, if he really wants to. I think it would be fun to do it, even her at this age now, you know what I mean? She could even do it and she could be married and be in Whoville. Like, I don't know. She could be divorced. They could really go a crazy angle, you know what I mean? But I agree with you. I don't understand the hate. I don't even know how people would hate on it or what they would say about it that they don't like. I thought it was more like a near perfect Christmas film. I thought it was just so well done, especially for the time. When did it come out? 2002?
Now 2000.
Okay, there you go. Like I thought I remember when it came out, I couldn't wait to see it. I went and saw it in theaters, man. It was fantastic. And I was, what, 15 at the time? You
Yeah, me
know?
too. I
It's
was
not on my
in fifth
list. It's
grade.
not on my top 10, but it's an honorable mention, which we'll get into. It probably just was off the list. But yeah, my number six might have been where you would have put your TV special. I don't know. My TV special here is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at number six. There's just a feeling you get when you watch it again. It was an event. Just the entire the entire look of it, every time I watch it, just gives me a fuzzy feeling. I've said it before, it feels like a warm hug every time I turn it on, and the sound of it, the music, everything about it, it just feels like a warm hug at Christmas. It feels like hot chocolate in your mouth. I just love it. And again, it's not that long. It's 25 minutes. It's a good special. And I don't think any Christmas is complete without watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I can't argue that. Again, if I had to do combine movies and specials, my list would, mostly be specials probably, honestly. Rudolph is a perfect one. I mean, it's Lord of the Rings on acid for children, but it's a perfect special.
That's a great fucking, that's actually perfect. Okay, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. We're in the top five here. What is your number five?
To my surprise, and to the surprise of, again, anyone who has listened to the podcast, Elf. Elf, which I once put at number one and had kept it there for years, has fallen to number five.
Wow. Why?
It's a great movie. Will Ferrell's great. James Caan is great. I think this is a perfect Christmas movie, but as I get older, there are other movies I'm starting to appreciate more, which we'll talk about why. And this one, the Will Ferrellness of it all can kind of be gets a little grating as I grow older.
I see what you're saying, and that's why it is not in my top 10. We discussed kind of off mic before, off recording. You'd be shocked at one. I like Elf, but it is not in my top 10. It is because it's really, really silly, and I know Christmas can be silly, which is fine. I'll watch it once a year, but it's not something I will watch repeatedly throughout the year. Actually, that's a lie. There are some times where I'll just throw it on if I see it on a streaming thing and be like, oh, you know what? I'll watch it. But it does get a tad annoying at
This
times for me.
one gets a lot of play time throughout the year in America. I feel it around Easter is on like TNT or USA Channel or something. This one just
Oh.
randomly you'll turn on a channel in the middle of July. I'll be on late at night.
I think it's like a cult classic. So it's one of those things that like, if cable stations put it on, they know people are going to watch it. No matter what time of year it is.
And by the way, just because it's at number five does not mean I don't love it. Obviously, it made my top five. I love it, and
Yeah.
I appreciate how they kind of brought all those Rankin Bass sets to like real life.
Yeah, that was actually really cool. I fuck man, they should do some kind of film like that now. I don't know if you can, it wouldn't feel authentic, but you know, whatever. I think it's deserving of being on the list, especially if you like it, obviously. Everything's relative, but my number five is a controversial one. Some people hate it, some people love it. Can you guess what it is?
Controversial one.
It's some people, it's either they hate it or they love it. And it's a cult classic, depending who you ask.
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, hell no, that's not on my list. Polar Express, number five.
All
It
right.
depends who you talk to. Some people love it, some people hate it. They love the story, but they hate the animation. You know what I mean? Which I can understand. Polar Express to me, there's no Christmas Eve complete without it. You know what I
You
mean?
watch this on, this one gets watched on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
No,
What? What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying, I'm obviously one of the people who hate it. I can't imagine dedicating my Christmas Eve to this one.
Oh my, what do you watch on Christmas Eve?
We'll get to it. We haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, okay. I do watch this and maybe something else. We can get into it, but I do kind of have like a tradition. But yeah, this is dedicated to Christmas Eve. I think I love it. I think there's a nostalgic part to it where I grew up watching it. Not grew up watching it myself with like my kids who are going to be 15 this year. And every Christmas, that would be the go-to on Christmas Eve. So there's that nostalgic feeling of wanting those times again, but when they still give me the time of day, we'll watch it together on Christmas Eve, depending. And it's really, it's I don't know, it's a classic in my family. And if you don't like it, go to hell. What is your number four, Antonio?
Also, a surprise to me about where this one fell on the list.
Okay.
Number four is what I would consider the best Santa Claus movie of all time, The Santa Claus, starring
Oh my God,
Allen.
four?
Number four. Again, this one was always one or two with Elf, like they were always interchangeable for me, but this one fell as well.
Oh my goodness,
And I
why?
will tell you, so this is one I can appreciate more as I get older, like the whole divorce storyline and everything like that. And the Cynic finding the love for Christmas again. But there is one aspect of it that grates on me the older I get. I wish they didn't lean so hard into the toilet humor with the reindeer.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But that's not a big enough reason to make it go down that far. Come on.
Again, the three I have above it, there's just something the more, the older I get, the more I appreciate it. Them,
Yeah.
and that, trust me, when I was making this list, that shocks me as well. So, but Santa Claus, Tim Allen, still my favorite Santa ever. The North Pole, still my favorite North Pole ever.
Oh, that's indisputable.
The North Pole of the first one, and the
Well, of
reindeer, the
course, yeah.
first one.
How were the reindeer that good in 1994? And then some Christmas movies that have come out have been 10 times worse, even 3 years ago.
How are the reindeer even worse in a sequel 8 years later, where they're like,
Yeah.
"Wow,
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know
wow,
exactly what you're saying. My number four is a cult classic. I'm going Home Alone 1. Obviously, Home Alone is one of the most watched Christmas movies every year. I think it's top three. I think it's up there with It's a Wonderful Life. Also, what else? What's the other one? Oh, Christmas Story. But I watch this movie. I try not to watch it more than a couple times a year because it's one of those movies you want to savor. And then when it's the Christmas season, you want to put it on and really, really enjoy it. The story of it all, like when we were kids, we never would have wanted to be left alone. But if we had a chance to take down robbers and like could like booby trap our house, it's a fucking dream. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's my number four. It could have been higher. But we're getting into the top three now, which I'm interested to hear your top three now that you've bumped out Elf and Santa Claus.
Well, let's get into it. So number three for me is one that, like you, I didn't see until about 10 years ago, and that is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Nice. Deservedly so.
This one is just hilarious. Out of all the stuff on this list, this is probably the movie that makes me laugh the most consistently from start to finish. Chevy Chase is a comedic genius. I love the marriage he has in this with Ellen Griswold. Cousin Eddie is phenomenal. The
Yeah.
whole family there, this movie is a riot. But at its core, it's still, I think, obviously it's exaggerated, but everybody knows how stressful the holidays are with extended family, especially when extended family comes to stay. And
Yeah.
this film captures that perfectly. But you take the beginning with the song and the end where they're standing outside in front of the lights, and it's just like, I did it. Like, it's a perfect movie. I love this movie so much.
Yeah. Have you ever had that many family members over for an extended period of time at Christmas?
For the year, not well, between Christmas and New Year. So for the year 2000, the big Y2K event, we
Oh.
had maybe like legitimately my mom's whole, like all her siblings, her kids, my grandparents, great aunts and uncles staying for like, it was like a packed house. All the kids slept downstairs in the playroom. It was awesome. I honestly wish I was older because 2000, I was like, what, sixth grade or whatever, but like, I wish I was old enough to like drink it, like, you know what I mean? And like
Yeah.
have fun. But like, no, I remember it being a great time.
How old were you in 2000?
I mean, sixth grade, so what is that? 11?
Sixth grade, yeah, about that. Yeah. I was in 2000,
Hey, leave him alone.
I was 15. So yeah, I was scared to death of the Y2K, man. I was always a worrier. I'm like, oh, what's gonna happen? I'm like, there was a legit videos of it of me just having a fucking panic attack. But yeah, no, solid movie, solid number three. My number three, I'm going to piggyback off Home Alone 1. I think 2 is better. I love the New York City part of it, but you kind of grew up in that area. So, like, New York City to us, I've been a few times in my life. It was just a dream you'd see on TV. And then when you finally went, it was like, oh man, I've seen this my whole life on television and movies, and I'm finally here. There was like an allure of New York City. I guess when you live like close to it, like you were out in you were in Nyack more recently than you were like probably 40 minutes away in Newburgh when you were young. I think if I remember correctly, it's about 40 minutes.
Right.
But you probably got sick of it. But to me, having that really upped the ante in the movie, man, like going to his uncles and his aunts and being in that abandoned apartment was fantastic.
This movie is such a time capsule, like going to the airport, not get checking the ticket or anything like that. It's so
Oh,
such a
gee,
time
can you imagine? Can you imagine
capsule.
post 9/11 now everything? But like back then, like everything was so lax, especially in like when did this come out? 91, 92? No, I still get chills every time I see the World Trade Centers, man.
Yeah, me too, especially when
When the
he's
plane
standing
is on the
on
top
top
of
of
them.
them.
Yeah, it's like it's really wild to look at. You know what I mean? It's like every time I see it, I'm like, holy crap. Because like
I think
I'd
the
never
TV
seen them
version.
until post 9/11. Like I went to the rubble after.
I
So it was
think that there when it, this airs on ABC Family or Freeform, whatever it's called now, they still edit out the towers.
yeah, wow. They do. That's sad. I know they did that for a portion of time after, about 5 years after. Like even in The Sopranos, they took it out of it and like 'cause it's a sore subject, but I think it should be more pride now. Like enough time has passed where like the wound hasn't healed, but it's not as sensitive. And I feel like 9/11 is one of those things that like I don't think I can even joke about. And I'm not even from New York. It was just such a dark time. And it
You
was
know
a
what's
time also. Go
what's
ahead.
interesting? I feel like New Yorkers are the ones who joke about it the most, and I think it's just our way of coping with it.
I think if anybody can, they can. You know what I mean? Like anyone, like I always see these kids now make these off-colored remarks about it. Like they're like 16 years old. Like you never saw it. You never felt what it, like to you, it's just this video on a screen. You never went through the actual feeling of it. And like
I
when I see these
still love
young
the
kids joke
Louis
around about it now, I'm like, just shut up.
I still
Like
love the Louis C.K. joke though,
which one?
where it's like you can always tell how good a person is by how long it took them to masturbate after 9/11. For me, it was between Towers 1 and 2.
Oh, Jesus. And he loves to masturbate, as we know. He would just, do it in front of people, and he was canceled for that. I was never a Louis C.K. fan, man. I never was. I never found him. It's the same reason I'm not like a Bert Kreischer or whatever fan or the other guy, Tom Segura. I don't find them funny. I do find Shane Gillis's delivery funny.
Yeah, like Shane Gillis.
He's funny. Like, did you watch the roast this year of Kevin Hart? I don't know why everybody gets so up in arms about jokes. It's a roast. It's bad. And like, even when they were making fun of what's his name, his dad, because he was in 9/11, they always get after him about that.
Oh,
What's
Pete
his name?
Davidson.
Yeah, Pete Davidson, man. Like,
The
to me,
guy
I always
who has.
cringe, but if he's fine with it, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can't get all up in arms about certain things. There was like a racial area pushed, but I mean, if black people are okay with us making fun of them in a roast, they can make fun of us 10 times harder. Like, I think it's a safe zone. And I think that's what comedy is. Comedy should be allowed to be funny and not judged and not taken super seriously unless you're being really vindictive with it. And roasts aren't vindictive, it's shock value. You know what I mean?
Agreed. But I want to, before we get too far off it, speaking of things that got edited out, I remember a few years ago a Canadian television station edited out a certain cameo by a certain future president.
Who did who edited it out?
Was it the CBC? I don't know. It
I
aired
don't
on,
know, yeah.
but I remember the only reason I know that was because a certain president at the time flipped out on Twitter about it.
Listen, I'm not the biggest Trump guy. I'm not super political. I know you're a bit of on the other side of the spectrum there. I don't, he doesn't need to be edited out. It's a part of,
I don't think
it's
they
a,
edited out because of that. I think it was just,
yeah.
how TV stations need to edit stuff for commercials and stuff. I think that
Oh
just
yeah, that's fair, I guess, but I don't know. It's still a classic little scene because I remember when we were young, it was always like a little Easter egg. It's like, holy crap, that's Donald Trump when he wasn't like a complete utter bozo, but everybody has their opinion, like whatever. We won't get into it, but like I'm not a super political person, but I judge things by what I deem right and wrong, and I don't think he's on the right side of history, and I think it's impossible to say he will be given everything that's happened. So whatever you believe in, I just don't think we can look at him and say we are proud of this time in world history, not even just American history. You know what I mean?
Yep, no, I get
And he was in my number three. So I don't hate him that much. But yeah, what is your, we're on number two now. What is your number two?
Well, let's keep the Home Alone discussion going because Home Alone, the original, is my number two.
Wow. So I know what your number one is then.
So this one used to be like number five, but it's risen to
Yeah.
number two. And this one, again, it's just one I appreciate more as I get older. The house setting is what really sells this one for me over the second one. The house is
Yes.
just so
Yeah.
iconic, so warm and cozy. The red and green, like paint job, the way
My
it's
kids have
decorated.
the same opinion. They kind of like, you know, the New York one, but they kind of look at the house and like, oh, the house felt like it was better. You know what I mean? I guess it's a cozier part, and it was so early 90s, the hunter green and all like that. That was a rich person's house, but they used like little tiles as the actual countertops in the kitchen, which was weird. That always creeped me out. It was like little green tile.
I also prefer Old Man Marley to the Pigeon Lady.
Yeah, I like
I
both.
think that story is
Well, you
resonates
get a
with people.
character arc for, you know, Old Man Marley. You know, you
Yeah.
see his family at the end. The only thing you get from the pigeon lady is she hears Kevin's dad yelling from the, you know, the hotel,
The
and that's it.
plaza.
She gets a dove, and that's it. It's like, I don't know,
And
man. I
this
wanted
one is
something.
extra bittersweet because it has John Candy and Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, yes. Did I ever send you that video? I saw it like a couple months ago. It's like a behind the scenes. I think it's like a neighbor shooting a video of John Candy doing his one of his scenes with Catherine O'Hara. Did I ever send that to you?
I don't think you did, no.
Oh, I'm gonna find it and send it to you. It's like a neighbor filming John Candy while he's doing a scene with Catherine O'Hara. It's really cool. It's I you know my soft spot for John Candy. I love that guy, man.
And
I
I will
legit.
say that this one hit, this and the second one hit more since she passed last year. Or was it this
Yeah.
year?
Yeah, it's now when I see her in anything, like it's not even just a Canadian thing because she is a Canadian icon. You know, and growing up in the comedy clubs out here, Catherine O'Hara was a tremendous loss. And it was just one of those people. I know this doesn't sound normal, but when you think of people, you're like, oh, it's the same way I felt when Kobe Bryant passed away. It's like you don't expect anyone to pass away, but like a colossal giant like that. To me, you know, Catherine O'Hara was a giant in like my childhood, and especially like then with Schitt's Creek, and then she was in so much stuff, and I just always loved her so much. And I love the dynamic that her and John Candy
And
had. And
most recently, she was in that show, The Studio, which was also phenomenal.
yes, actually really good. But yeah, my number two now is probably your number one. So should I just say, I'll say my number one now because you've already named it, and then we'll kind of talk about our, unless I'm completely wrong. But my number one, I'll say my number one, Santa Claus. It's just for me, that's another one I'll watch on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? With Polar Express, but I watch this one a couple times a year. It was filmed 10 minutes from where I grew up. Pretty much like when it came out. I fell in love with it. I love Tim Allen as a Santa Claus. Like the CGI of it or whatever, like even the reindeer animatronics or whatever you call it, were just fantastic. It felt so real at the time, in a time when I was nine and I wasn't sure what to think anymore. It's just such a beautiful film. And obviously, you know, it's my number one because I took a line from the movie. It's my podcast name, the Roast Such a Clatter podcast, which was supposed to be the original name I always liked. But then I got obsessed with having the word Christmas in it. I was like, nobody's gonna find me. But every time I watch a Santa Claus, I smile. My heart is filled with love. Even though I don't like the court scenes, I thought they could have did without them. But I get why they put them in there. It always makes me kind of sad. But I guess you kind of had to have that little downer moment, you know. But
And then
yeah,
yeah, the
that's
guy
my.
had Santa kidnapping his child for a month.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up. It's just like looking back at that, I always look at that. I'm like,
But
that's a
I did
serious
not
offense.
understand it as a kid. I always assume I always just as a kid, a young kid, I just assume, oh, Christmas Eve. But no, it's
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. He keeps him for a month.
Yes, it was not right. So let's talk about my number two and your number one. You tell me what your number one is.
My number one is "It's a Wonderful Life." No, I'm joking. It's a Christmas
I
story.
was like, wait a second, I fucked up. No, yeah, no, my two was a Christmas story as well. It could be one, but yeah. So tell me about Christmas Story, because you're a bit younger than me. Like, when was your first view of this, or was it on TBS when they would show like it a million times?
I'm pretty sure it was on TBS, but I'm late to the party with this one. So I remember as a kid turning on TBS, flipping through the channels, trying to find a Christmas movie, and stumbled across this movie. And it was a scene where they're unboxing the leg lamp.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a young kid. It's out of context. You know, that it's dimly lit, that scene. The music's a little ominous. And then he pulls a leg out of the box. And I turned the channel. I thought, this is horrifying. And I didn't revisit it for years. I mean, I knew all the tropes, like you're gonna shoot your eye out and what's the Santa scene and everything like that, but it just had no interest. And then when we covered it on our show a few years back, it was like, oh, okay, this is better than I remember it. I still didn't rate it high, but then since then it's become like my absolute favorite. This is one I like more and more as the years go by. It's so
Same.
nostalgic. Which is weird because I didn't grow up with it, but it's for a simpler time, nostalgia for a simpler
Yeah.
time. And I'm sure I'll love it even more if slash when I do have kids one day. But the old man is one of the great characters in all of Christmas movies. The way he comes through for his son. Shout out to A Christmas Story Christmas, where he comes through even in death for
Yep.
his son again.
It was beautifully done
It was
on
beautifully
that.
done, and the leg lamp is an icon. It's iconic. You can't
Yeah.
every year Hallmark puts out a different leg lamp ornament nowadays.
Which is kind of annoying. I love the leg lamp, but Jesus, come on. Let's get give me a break here. But yeah, I grew up with this. My stepdad loved the movie, 'cause he immediately loved it in 83. I think it came out in 83. And then he had it like recorded. It wasn't even like he didn't have like the VHS. He had recorded it off TV in like 1985 and still like had it, or maybe a little later, I don't know. And then my brother was obsessed with it. He would watch it every day of the week twice, all throughout the year. And he'd call him the boy with glasses. He's like, "Oh, CJ, can we watch the boy with glasses?" And like, I was like, "Yeah, of course." So probably from when my brother was like 4 to 7, he watched it every single day. And I'm not kidding. He was obsessed with it, the boy with glasses. So that was me growing up with it. And then I kind of let it go a bit. And then as I got older, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of like really wanting these days to come back. And then I started watching it more again. And this is a movie I still admittedly I will watch every we're the 25th today, right? Yeah,
Or the 25th.
we're the 25th. I watch it every 25th of the year. So I'll be watching it tonight, but I'll also watch it in between. It's another one of those things where I'll put it on if I'm having a crap night. And I'll just let it play. And then when those ding dongs of the bells go off, and then, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh yeah. And then in my mind, I'll just, go through the entire movie. I know all the words.
You know what? I like that idea, watching it the 25th of every month. That's a great idea.
I do, because that's my Christmas Day movie. When I'm depressed on Christmas Day that it's all over,
This is my Christmas Eve movie. This is the one I
that's
watch
fair. Yeah,
Christmas
that's
Eve.
fair too.
But I know you feel the same way about the scene where mom and dad are just sitting watching the
Yeah.
snowfall by the tree in the
That's
dark.
Christmas, and that's why I watch it Christmas Day, because that's when all the hustle and bustle was over. So when I watch it and that scene comes on Christmas Day, there's never a time I do not cry, because I know Christmas is over, but that feeling, that imagery is Christmas. And once the scene ends, and then the credits pop up, I have a little bit of a cry. I'm like, Christmas is over. And sometimes I'll even turn it on again right after and try to fall asleep. You know what I mean? Because that scene to me is Christmas at the end. Like, the parents are done, everything's been finished, and now it's just them in the calm of Christmas. What ruins it though is that I went to the Christmas Story house and those were potato flakes falling outside the window.
What I love about how they crafted the sequel to this movie is you could just watch the two where they just feed into each other on an endless loop.
Yes, and that's I really what I didn't know what to expect, because we obviously know with I forget his real name, but Marv, he was in a Christmas Marv from Home Alone. He was in A Christmas Story too. he played the old man or whatever, and it was just a disaster. So this one, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I watched it, and it was so heartfelt. It was so true to the original. It paid proper homage to everybody in it. Would I have loved to have the same mom in it? Of course, but she was sick at that time. I think she had dementia, did she not, or something?
Yeah, plus she was just kind of retired for a while from acting.
That would have made it perfect had they done it like 10 years earlier. But you know,
I like that even though Darren McGavin is gone, the old man was still a huge part of the story.
he comes through with the sled, which is really freaking cool. It would that I just love that, and I still watch that. I have that on digital and physical as well. I'll watch that a couple times a year. Do I love it as much as the original? Obviously not, but it is like a little, it's a good little nod to it, and you can watch both back to back because it's almost like a little bit of a prequel. It's not a, it's a prequel without it being a prequel because he's telling the story at the end, you know what I mean? Because when the kids are running out of there, but yeah. No, it's very worthy of being number one. It's very worthy. It's my number two. It could easily be my number one, but I there's something special about the Santa Claus for me. There's something that feels extra Christmassy about it. I don't know. It's just personal preference, I guess.
That's
But
fair.
I think we did a good job. What are some of your honorable mentions, though?
But with some again, I don't have any special, so honorable mention to Christmas Story Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
Disney's A Christmas Carol, which you talked about.
Yep.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Me too. Like, I just started liking that this year or last year, sorry. I used to get on everybody how bad it sucked, and I finally sat down and watched it. It's pretty friggin' good. It's so heartwarming.
That's one that I can see creeping in my top 10 eventually, because I appreciate it more every year. Violent Night. Red One, which I really liked Red One.
Red One was surprisingly good.
Here's one that'll shock you. It's a Wonderful Life. That's one I appreciate more every year.
Gosh.
Anna and the Apocalypse
Okay.
and Santa Claus the Movie.
Yeah, that one was okay. I watched it for the first time this year. So,
If that one, if they kept the whole first half going the whole movie, that could be the perfect movie. But they had to go the John Lithgow weird
I
monster.
still have some of the same honorable mentions. Like, I have the Grinch in mind. It would probably be number 11 or 12. I also have, like, it probably wouldn't be in my top 15, but I love watching it once a year is The Night Before with Seth Rogen.
Yes, love that one.
I like it for once a year for a little bit of fun. It's really good.
I also really like Office Christmas Party with Jason Bateman.
Yeah, that one's not bad too. Also another one, I think it came out last year, the year before, and I really enjoy it. I've only watched it twice though. The Holdovers. It's not really a super Christmas movie, but it's really good.
Love the Holdovers. I would recommend the Baltimore Runs. So that came out last year, and that's very similar in tone.
And obviously Elf is an honorable mention. Trying to look through here. Klaus, I guess, is an honorable mention for me as well.
Hate that movie.
Charlie Brown Christmas. I like Deck the Halls. Jingle All the Way is up there for me. And another one that would probably be number 11, Arthur Christmas. I know you're not a fan.
I would watch that over Claus.
Yeah, really? Oh, that's interesting. No, I really love Arthur Christmas. I thought it was so well done. It almost made the list. It's one of my kids' favorite Christmas movies because they grew up with it. So,
I think we should do an episode like this, but we pick our top 10
hated.
episodes of television shows.
Oh, that would. Oh, man. That's actually really good.
So that
Let's
would
do
be
that for
like
Christmas.
a
Let's
nice,
do that for Christmas in July.
and that would be really hard too, because think of how many
Yes.
great episodes are out
I
there.
already know what would be up in my top three. That Ted Lasso episode I just watched the other day, it's so good. But then
Ted
I'd have
Lasso.
to really break down all because there's been some really good Christmas episodes and shows. Yeah, we should get like Jerry on that too. And maybe a couple other people.
Maybe
Maybe
Kristen too.
maybe. We'll figure it out. Yeah, let's do that for Christmas in July. That'd be really fun. That's actually a really good idea. But yeah, I really enjoyed having you on, man. I
Thank
know you haven't had the best couple weeks, but you know I love you and I wanted to get you on here just to have some fun.
you. I
And
appreciate that.
tell me where everybody can find you and tell them about your new Instagram too.
Linktree.com/tis the podcast. You take you to all the Tis the Podcast feeds. You could follow us at DC Unlimited Pod for my comic podcast, and then the Midnight Haunts for our curated Halloween page on Instagram. So check that all out.
Excellent. Again, appreciate having you on. I love you. I'm
love you
your
too,
podcast dude. With your podcast, also with Can't Wait for Christmas, and also what the heck his name, Christmas Past, were the first three I ever listened to. You guys were kind of like, there was other ones around, but they were the bigger ones. And when I found you guys, it was like finding like the biggest beam of light in darkness. I'm like, oh my God, it does exist. And like,
it's like the Father, like, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It was like that Joker, the Joker scene when he's like, I forget what he says before it, but he's like, they're crazy like me. But anyway, I was just like, I was so happy to find people that did Christmas year round. And it was like a present every day. Cause like you guys had had so many episodes done already, and so did Christmas Past, and so did Can't Wait for Christmas, where I had like a couple of years to kind of like go through and really enjoy. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to try to do this thing. So yeah, you guys are one of the reasons I got into it, man. And so it's cool to have a friendship with you now. And it's like, you're a celebrity, man.
If only I got paid like a celebrity.
Yeah, me too. Tell me about it. When people are like, how many people listen to your podcast? I'm like, don't you worry about it. Because it's not that impressive. But yeah, anyways, you guys can catch me, or you can find me at Roast Such Glatter Pod on Instagram. As Anthony said, find him at Tis the Podcast. Fantastic podcast. Really appreciate you coming on again. And I guess I'm going to see you in July for top 10 Christmas TV shows. So yeah, until next time, we'll see you, sports fans. Peace.